Hey there, thanks for pressing play on this AHDB podcast. So, bit of news. Food and Farming and Agonomics have officially been retired. No more episodes coming. But wait, before you wander off into the podcast wilderness, we've got something new, shiny and weekly. It's called The Ag Show. It's got all the good stuff. Farming chats, fresh insights and a whole load of fun. New episodes drop every Wednesday at midday. Just search The Ag Show wherever you get your podcasts to give it a whirl.
Welcome to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB, keeping levy payers informed and at the heart of the conversation.
Welcome to this four-part series where we dig into the AHDB Beef and Lamb flagship knowledge exchange programme, Roots to Resilience. The Roots to Resilience programme has so far included activity based around business planning and finances, ecological functioning, succession and communication, and of course, the world-renowned Ranching for Profit course. I'm Amy Hughes, and I'll be talking to farmers from across the country who have been involved with the programme to find out what they've got out of it and talk through the impact that it's had on their businesses and their lives. Today, I'm going to be speaking to Richard Stanbury, who is a beef and sheep farmer in the southwest of England. And I began by asking Richard about his farm in the deepest, darkest south of England.
So we are a beef and sheep enterprise on the edge of Exmoor, North Devon. I farm with partnership with my parents, and we've just brought Laura in as well into partnership. So it was third, 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 and now it's third, third, and a sixth. And we run beef, cows, suckler cows, and lamb ewes in the spring. Do lots of outwintering, and yeah, just quite a simple system. Finish everything on grass, and started to do a little bit more to direct sales, but mainly go into ABP and market with that cow.
I've seen your direct sales on social media. It looks good stuff.
Yes, that's kind of Laura's little bit that she's doing to the business. She's not gone back to work after we've had the boys, and she kind of wanted to have that, do something else with the farm, I guess, bringing in direct sales and hopefully school visits and, yeah, a little bit of a shot. Yeah, we'll see how things pan out, really.
Tell us why you got involved with Roots to Resilience. What was it about the programme that you felt the need to get involved with?
I kind of wanted to get involved more with your events anyway. And then the Dallas Ranching for Profit course came up, and me and a couple of mates had been like almost toying with the idea of even flying to Canada to do it. So to have that opportunity on our doorstep, oh my Lord, that is just amazing. So we booked right in, and luckily we did because it was quite sought after, and I think it was gone within 24 hours or something.
Yeah, it was that first one. Yeah.
Yeah. So we really got on there quick, and then that was just such an amazing experience. We really enjoyed it. One, to get off farm is great, and two, to discuss. I think you discuss your business a lot more open when you get off farm, but with like-minded people, and you're kind of in this like safe sort of environment where nothing's off limits. You can discuss it openly, and that takes a certain sort of person maybe, but when you get to those events, once one starts talking about it, you kind of loosen your belt and let it out of it. So yeah, it was quite interesting just to speak to other farmers, what other people are going through. You either feel like, crikey, you're in a really lucky position how we are, or we could do better here. So it challenges you as well, so it's quite beneficial. And then after that, just yeah, the other options of to continue on was just a no-brainer, and they've been really useful. Definitely the Ranching Profits course is by far the most useful of all of them.
So specifically with that course, and I suppose any course, getting off the farm for sort of 3-4 days at a time, a lot of people sort of balk at that. Is that a Yorkshire word? I don't know. Recoil at that. You know, the thought of getting off, you know, taking that time off farm and having to cover jobs and stuff is a real big thing for a lot of people, understandably. But you obviously made the effort to get away. Your course was 3 days. It was the first one that we did. What would you say to anybody that's sort of thinking, I just can't possibly do that? What would your words be to them?
If they really can't do it, they probably more than have to make the effort to do it. That is the problem. So if you can get on that course and you'll learn more and more about your business and where the weaknesses are, which is probably why you're not getting the time off in the first place. And I totally understand it. You know, I've read the books, the Ranch and Profit books as well, and you hear these stories, and it is getting off farm, and we just love it, don't we, on farm. So to get away is limited, and, you know, with family pressures and everything else, to get off farm, you should be probably going on holiday with your family and your kids mm-hmm. and everything else. But trust me, it is definitely worth it. You'll learn so much, and you will gain so much knowledge to make options to get away from the farm even easier. So after we went to that course, I learned how to manage my business that little bit better, that we could then up sticks and take 2 weeks holiday with the kids in Canada, you know. And that's probably thanks to that course. And there's more to life than just your farm. Obviously, it's really important, but it will continue without you. And as long as you've got those management skills in place, and that's what you kind of learn from these sort of courses.
I love the fact that you went away to Canada as a result of that course. That's brilliant to hear. So the way the program works is, obviously, you were on our very first course, and what we did was took the feedback from the farmers that attended that course and built the rest of the program around it. So that year we had Jason Roundtree over to do ecological functioning, and then we had Elaine Fraze to do communication and succession later on in the year. But there's also been a discussion group off the back of those 3-4 day business courses which you've been involved with. Talk to us about those and how you found being involved in that.
The whole way through, really, I've been involved because I'm kind of always want to further myself, and I always want to get better. And I still can improve so much, and I've still got so much to implement within the business myself. The Jason Roundtree one was quite a lot that we kind of got in place on our farm anyway, and changes that we have made in the last 4 or 5 years anyway. But it was really interesting because there's little bits there. And sometimes you don't need to learn everything from that. I think I took a couple of things away and implemented them and gained from those. But cleared my mind and cleared the knowledge through. Elaine Fraze, you know, it's a great event. Succession is something that we'd went through when I came into partnership, which is quite forward thinking. I came into partnership really young as well, which was quite forward thinking of my parents. And we done all that kind of succession thing, or we thought we had done it. And then the government kind of threw a wobbly at us as well. So things have definitely altered in the ownership structure now. It was kind of a third, 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 but you know, we've had to shift that around quite dramatically at a cost to the business as well that we weren't expecting. So you need to, between the whole three events, the big events, then they've kind of tied into each other, knowing your management accounts, knowing your farming system, and knowing your succession and communication. I can really improve still on my communication and stuff that we learned even from Dallas is with those communication things there. I still haven't got round to having a Monday morning meeting with, you know, everybody so they know what they're doing. It's something I want to do and I know I need to do it, and I probably would have implemented it now, but we're just getting rid of the sheep event and different things. So yeah, it's kind of like rush, rush, rush at the minute. But so you just got to implement these things and get on with them. But yeah, that is my next to do. I've done so many changes. It's kind of like tick, tick, tick. And then, yeah, that's probably the next box to tick.
So it sounds like your parents have obviously been really forward thinking in bringing you into the partnership so young. It sounds like you were making changes anyway, or you would have made changes anyway without Roots to Resilience. How has your involvement in Roots to Resilience affected the changes that, like, what changes have you made off the back of it, or how has it helped you to? Because it's a mindset piece, isn't it? Roots to Resilience, a big piece of it is a change in mindset. Like, talk to us about that and how it's helped you in your business.
Yeah, so it's definitely a mindset change. And like I said, yeah, I was very lucky to be in a partnership when I was young. And Dad was quite forward thinking and saying, well, I've had my 30 years. It's kind of your 30 years now. So you then chucked kind of into the deep end a bit, because nobody shows you or teaches you how to manage your farming accounts or know what you're doing. Like, you've done stuff for years and you've always done that. So then to implement a change by having the knowledge and background information to then look in deeper and say, actually, we're doing all that, and why are we doing that? You know, that's costing us this amount, and that's costing us that amount of time, that amount of money. It's not getting us anywhere. By seeing it on paper and knowing your stuff, you know, you can look at your accountant's accounts, but they're two totally different sets of accounts. These are your running day-to-day cash flows, profit and losses. They tally completely different to your set of tax accounts your accountant is trying to give to you, obviously to show you what your business is making, but at the same time, you know, for the tax man purposes. So we go through ours quite regularly now, and I've forced myself to do it because it's not the most enjoyable thing in the world to, you know, when it's not, it can easily be put back on the back burner. Yesterday we spent 3 hours with a consultant. We went through our profit and loss for the first quarter, but it's kind of going over what we've done with Dallas, but kind of making us do it a bit more because it can easily be put back on the back burner, and it just gives you that bit of confidence, and talk to some other farmers with that as well. So yeah, it's really beneficial. It is a life-changing experience for anybody that on the farm. I think the people I spoke to couldn't quite believe what they're doing on their farms, and you know, I've caught up with those people quite a lot since we're on that discussion group, and whether it be on that direct discussion group or in our own messages or whatever, I came out of it, I set up a little group because we had our little table and I called it the Accountables, and just made sure that we made things that we were going to do in the next 12 months from that meeting. Mm-hmm. And a time scale, and then we kind of had to make it that we were accountable to someone. Yep. To do it, and I come back and I completely forget I rolled up this piece of paper and just taped it up, and without looking at it, when I unrolled it, I'd already done the things, because it kind of, I find it's just how I learn, is if I write it down, write it in my memory, and that is what I'm going to do, and it will be done. And I completed all my things on my accountable list, and I think most of the others did as well, and it just makes you do it. That's kind of what we've done, and again, we did it with the last meeting there we had. Was it in Oxford
with a discussion group?
Yeah. That direction. We met with them again, the other farmers, and we went off in a different group this time. And it was so interesting to look into their businesses as well as ours, and look at the faults. And it's very easy to, you almost have like a board of management, and they can see the faults of your business, and you have to sit there and take them, and put you almost in an awkward position. But at the same time, you can sit there and listen to it, and you just agree. And if they're not right, then you're either in denial or you didn't put your point across in the first place well enough. So yeah, you improve on that.
Yeah, it sometimes just takes a different pair of eyes, doesn't it? Like, it's really hard in farming, because you're on your farm all, like, pretty much all day, every day, doing what you're doing, and you don't see what's in front of you, or, you know, you don't even sometimes even think what's in front of you because you're that busy. So to have that extra, however many set of eyes on your business, giving you feedback in a really respectful way, that is one thing, because obviously I've been facilitating those groups with some colleagues at AHDB, and giving feedback or constructive criticism is not actually an easy skill. And I've been so impressed by all the people in those groups. Like, there's been no there's been no nastiness, there's been nothing. It's been a case of, right, I'm listening. Tell me what tell me what your problems are. Tell me what you're worried about. Tell me what you want to do. And then they all just chip in and give suggestions, don't they? It's really, really valuable to have that social network around you.
Yeah, I've never felt that anyone's been harsh. And sometimes I literally sat there and agreed. And yeah, some of the things that, you know, I just love piling myself into it. And they say, you're putting, why are you doing all that? And putting that, and you're exhausted from the energy you've kind of put into it. And a lot of the time, you're like, you just need to calm down, take a step back, take a better view at this, and change this and change that. And you're like, yes, that's what I need to do. Why didn't I think of that? And and it's kind of annoying that you didn't think of it. But at the same time, if you were sat at home, you could have been paddling for 10 years in the wrong direction. And I find the whole thing with Roots to Resilience all the way through, by working with other knowledgeable farmers that have done stuff and doing stuff and got different ideas or tried something already and already messed up. You know, I was one of the younger ones at the event probably, but by learning off of them, some of them have already had 10 years of failures. And
yeah,
if the honesty, and you're already 10 years in front of knowledge of the whole venture that you're doing on your farm. A lot, we're all beef and sheep farmers pretty much. So we're kind of all in the same boat. And there are things that you can soon easily lose several thousand pounds doing. So not just learning about your accounts, there's knowledge there from experience.
Right, give us your key take-homes, and if you could sum up your key take-homes, what would they be?
Listen. Listen and learn, take it in. Really just be open-minded to change. Don't be afraid of it. Learn the communication skills that you can put this to the previous generations. Ways you can get around it. If you've got any resistance from previous generations, kind of just got to almost plant a seed and make it like it's their idea.
Gentle manipulation.
Nobody's an expert. You don't know what's going to happen on your farm. Try it and see. We'll do 50% or a trial and a control and just take it. But yeah, just my main take homes is get on and do it again. And I'd quite happily book in with that Dallas course again because there's so much to learn. I get annoyed. because there should have been so many more people at some of those events and they weren't there and they really should have been. And especially the succession one, you know, it's just not talked about enough. I think recently it's probably been talked about a lot more, but maybe, you know, we wouldn't be in this position if we talked about things more and more and more openly.
Right. If you had to sum Roots to Resilience up in one sentence, how would you describe it?
I'm really good at really quick sentences. I'd say it is a very safe environment with like-minded farmers to further your knowledge of understanding the business and further develop a work-life balance whilst remaining profitable and really enjoying it.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Especially for you, that was pretty good. I'm impressed with that. That's good.
Yeah, it's probably still nearer a paragraph than a sentence.
So there we have it. Richard Stanbury talking about his experience of the Roots to Resilience programme. Richard's been involved from the start, and I think it's pretty clear that he's had a huge amount of positive experience with the programme, which is excellent to hear. So don't forget, this is a 4-part series. And in the next episode, I'll be speaking to Angus Duncan and Joe Nellis from Northumberland about their experience of the programme as a family, how it's made them think differently and what changes they've made to their business.
If you have any comments about this podcast or have ideas for future episodes, please email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk.